Wait a minute. I forgot to unmute Greg. Now it's my fault. Sorry, Greg.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm going to give you a definition. There's a word, it's called scotoma. It's a noun, a partial loss of vision or a blind spot in an otherwise normal visual field. Now, the WebMD says the definition of a scotoma is an isolated area of varying size and shape within the visual field in which vision is absent or depressed, a blind spot in a psychological awareness. The word scotoma is derived from the Greek word for darkness. Medically, a scotoma is an area or island of loss or impairment of visual acuity surrounded by a field of normal or relatively well-preserved vision. Every normal mammalian eye has a scotoma in its field of vision, usually termed a blind spot. The presence of this normal scotoma does not intrude into consciousness because it is very small, but it can be demonstrated to oneself by the simplest clinical methods. And this method that I put before you today is one of those simple clinical methods, okay? If you read this passage, the finished files are a result of years of scientific study combined with the experience of years. Now, Al, I need you to unmute everybody because I want to hear how many F's everybody came up with. Starting with you, Al, how many did you come up with? Al?
Sorry, I came up with six.
Okay. How about you, Cheryl?
Six.
Six? Wow.
Yeah.
You guys are good. What about everybody else there, you know, that's with Cheryl?
Let's see.
And I hope you weren't discussing this among yourselves.
Great, guys.
What's that?
Trent got six.
Okay. Anybody else? Cal?
Oh, I had six and Gail had six.
Oh, you both had six. That's wonderful. See, that's showing me something, that you are exceptional people. And the reason you're exceptional people is most people only see three. Okay? And the reason that most people only see three is because of that scotoma. And what's built in here is that when they read it, they see the F in finished, the F in files, and the F in scientific. They miss the F and the ofs because of is spelled phonetically O-V and not O-F. Okay? And that was the purpose and the reason for that exercise. Because there is blindness in each and every one of us, even when the subject is right before you. And this is what Yahshua was trying to show, that, you know, the people were blind, and he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." No, not one, they have all gone astray. And truly, each of us, even the song Sheila picked out, Amazing Grace, says, "I was once lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." We don't normally see that which is before us, especially that which is spiritual, okay? It has to be shown to us, and that is being done through Yahweh's Holy Spirit, because most people don't understand what Yahshua did. They understand that he gave his life. They understand that he died. But they don't they truly don't understand why. Okay? Turn to Psalm 14. Well, actually, before we go to Psalm 14, let's go to the text, which is Luke 23. Luke 23, and we'll read verses 33 to 35. And when they came to the place which is called the skull, they impaled him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. And Yahshua said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And parting his garments among them, they cast lots. And the people stood beholding. They were looking at him. And the rulers also scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Messiah of Elohim, his chosen. In other words, they were doubting. These are the leaders of the Jews. They were doubting who Yahshua truly was. Okay? And that's because they were blinded. They could not see who Yahshua truly was. Psalm 14. Psalm 14, and we'll read verses 1 to 7. It says there, The fool has said in his heart, There is no Elohim. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does good. Yahweh looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand. That did seek after Elohim. They have all gone aside or astray. They have together become filthy. There is none that does good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon Yahweh? There were they in great fear, for Elohim is in the generation of the righteous. You put to shame the counsel of the poor, because Yahweh is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel had come out of Zion, when Yahweh brings back the captivity of his people. Then shall Jacob rejoice, and Israel shall be glad.
You okay? You need.
Did not the leaders of Israel know this passage? Did they not understand the prophecies of the scriptures? I mean, the scribes knew every yod and tittle in the word. They knew where every decoration belonged. But see, we're talking about what's inside, what the word means, what's on their heart. Amos chapter 7. Turn to Amos chapter 7. And we'll start in verse 1. It says, In this manner the sovereign Yahweh showed me, and behold, he formed locusts in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. So this meant that you had your harvest, and this is the end of the harvest. So this is, you know, pointing to us, brethren, the latter days. Okay? You got the harvest at the end. And it came to pass that when they made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O sovereign Yahweh, forgive. I plead, how shall Jacob stand? For he is. Now, the term Jacob, the name Jacob, was the patriarch of Israel. His name was changed to Israel. So this passage is talking about Yahweh's people. How can Israel stand? For he is small. Yahweh repented concerning this. It shall not be, says Yahweh. Because he's not going to destroy his people. He's going to have a remnant that's going to return. Remember, Israel went into captivity, and they never returned to the Holy Land. But they're going to return in the latter days, at the end, they're going to return to Yahweh. Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom Yahweh imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Romans chapter 4.
What do you read? Psalm 32? I don't even know.
Romans 4. We're going to start in verse 1 in Romans 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has a good cause to glory, but not toward Yahweh. For what do the scriptures say? And Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Now to him that works, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of a debt. But to him that does not work, but because on him who justifies the wicked, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Even as David also pronounced blessings upon the man to whom Elohim reckons righteousness apart from works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom Yahweh will not reckon sin. And we want to be those people, brethren. Is this blessing then pronounced on the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision also? And we know the circumcision represents the Jews, the physical Jews. The uncircumcision represents the Gentiles. For we say to Abraham, his faith was reckoned for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while he was in uncircumcision. So when his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness, he had not been circumcised. And he received a sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of faith which he had while he was in uncircumcision, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be in uncircumcision, that righteousness might be reckoned to them, and the father of circumcision to them who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had in uncircumcision. Now, I guarantee you, every one of the leaders that was putting down Yahshua when he was there on the tree was circumcised, okay? The circumcision that we're looking for, brethren, is a circumcision of the heart. It's having the right heart, having the type of heart that will help us to forgive. Because if we don't forgive, we cannot be forgiven. For not through the law was the promise to Abraham or his seed that he should be heir of the world, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they that are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of no effect. For the law works wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression. For this cause it is of faith, that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed. not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you before him whom he believed, even Yahweh, who gives life to the dead and calls the things that are not as though they were, who in hope believed against hope, to the end that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which has been spoken. So shall your seed be. And without being weakened in faith, he considered his own body not as good as dead, he being about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet looking to the promise of Yahweh, he did not waver through unbelief, but was made strong through faith, giving glory to Yahweh, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Yahweh will never promise or give you anything that he cannot perform. Understand that, brethren. If he says it, he's going to do it. Therefore, it was also reckoned to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but it was reckoned to him, but for our sake also, to whom it shall be reckoned, who believe on him that raised Yahshua, our master from the dead, who was delivered up for our trespass and was raised up for our justification. So we've been justified by Yahshua. No one has ever done something so bad that they cannot be forgiven for it, except blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is blasphemy, brethren? I'm going to read an article real quick to answer that question where it deals with the Holy Spirit. But blasphemy is, I'll just read the article and then we'll get into it later. Yahshua mentions a sin that is unforgivable in Matthew 12:31-32, which we'll go over in a minute, and calls it blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But what exactly is an unforgivable sin? Okay, we're going to look into the context of the passage. It says in Matthew 12:22-32, then there was brought to him a demon-possessed man who was blind and dumb, and he healed him so that the dumb man spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and began to say, this man cannot be the son of David. Can he? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this man cast out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. And knowing their thoughts, he said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Consequently, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of Yahweh, then the kingdom of Yahweh has come upon you. Or, how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. And whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. And the scriptures are taken from the New American Standard Bible. Let's review this section briefly. In verse 22, Yahshua healed the blind and dumb man. And that's what I'm trying to get people to understand, that When you're in sin, you're blind. You can't see what you're doing. Someone has to bring it to your attention that you're in sin. So Yahshua healed the blind and dumb man. The Pharisees accused Yahshua of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. And Yahshua responded saying that the kingdom that is divided will fall. So how the devil must be first bound because he's a strong man. So we have to bind the devil before we can plunder his house.
Hallelujah.
In verse 31 and 32, he states that blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven in this age or the age to come. By simply looking at the context, it becomes apparent that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is saying that Yahshua did his miracles by the power of the devil. Okay? This is unforgivable. And it's unforgivable because, it says, but why? We can find a clue by looking at the point when Yahshua began his ministry. Yahshua stated that his baptism was to fulfill all righteousness. He didn't really need it, but it was to fulfill all righteousness in Matthew 3:15. You don't have to turn there. The word fulfill should cause us to think of the Old Testament. Basically, Yahshua was baptized because he had to fulfill the covenant requirement for entering into the priesthood. He was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. From Psalm 110:4 and Hebrews 5:8-10 and 6:20. Priests offered sacrifice to Yahweh on behalf of the people. Yahshua became a sacrifice for our sin. 1 Peter 2:21 and 2 Corinthians 5:21. In his role as priest, according to the Old Testament, in order for a priest to be consecrated, he had to be washed with water. He had to go to the mikveh and be immersed. Leviticus 8:6, Exodus 29:4, and Matthew 3:13-15. And anointed with oil. Leviticus 8:12, Exodus 29, Matthew 3:16. Both of these were bestowed upon Yahshua at his baptism. Additionally, he may have needed to be 30 years old. Which is, you know, the priest started, like, the heavy lifting, the younger priest, I guess at around age, 25. You had to be 20 to be of the age of accountability, but between 30 and 50 is when they actually started to practice, and they worked, I guess, to 20 years, because I think to 50, somewhere in that range, but they were heaving or lifting the offerings. At age 30. So that's when they started their ministry. Now, the oil is representative of the Holy Spirit, which descended upon Yahshua at his baptism in Matthew 3:16. It was after his baptism that he began his ministry and started performing his miracles. He did his miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, which it had come upon him at his baptism. The Pharisees, who knew that Yahshua's miracles validated his words and ministry in John 11:45-48, were attempting to discredit Yahshua's messiahship by saying that his works were by the devil and not by the Holy Spirit. Because if they admitted that they were by the Holy Spirit, then it would be a matter of why didn't you follow him? Why didn't you listen to him? But as the Pharisees came, many to him, like Nicodemus by night, and he said himself that we know that you are the Messiah because no one can perform these miracles that you do except Yahweh be with you. So they knew he was the Messiah. It says, this is unforgivable because it struck at the very heart of the redemptive work of Yahweh in the Messiah. It struck at the very nature of Yahshua's ministry of redemption, his testimony and teaching. Yahshua was ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit himself, fulfilling the divine plan of Yahweh to provide a sacrifice for our sins, John 3:16 and 1 John 4:10. The Pharisees were attributing this to demonic activity, and this is a great blasphemy. So that's where the blasphemy comes in. So see, because they were attributing that work of Yahshua, which was of the Holy Spirit, to the devil. And we can't do that, brethren. See, that's why we have to understand the key is forgiveness. And Yahshua did on the tree say, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." But the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaders of the Sanhedrin, they knew what they were doing, okay? And the reason I say they knew what they were doing, because they knew that this was the Messiah, and they were attributing his miracles to the devil. No. Can a believer commit the unforgivable sin, unpardonable sin? And the answer is no. A believer cannot commit the unforgivable sin. How can someone who has been born again, John 3:7, or made a new creature or creation in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and receive eternal life, John 10:27-28, actually commit the unforgivable sin? He cannot. Yahshua himself says that we have eternal life, not conditional, eternal life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. John 10:27-28. Besides, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that the true worshiper is a new creation in Messiah. We're different, no longer slaves to the old nature. From Romans 6:14, we are regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And see, that's why you have to have his Spirit. And if you have his Holy Spirit, you know, you can, because you have that down payment, be resurrected. Okay? You can be resurrected. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. We'll look at verse 30. We'll start in verse 30. I read some of this, but we're going to go right into the word now. It says, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven to men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. And whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in that which is to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruits. You offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth good things, and the evil man out of his evil treasures brings forth evil things. And I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words shall you be justified, and by your words shall you be condemned." Matthew 26, and we'll look at verses 26-29. It says, "And as they were eating, Yahshua took bread and blessed and broke it, and he gave to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave to them and said, 'Drink, all of you, out of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many to remission of sins. But I say to you, I shall not drink from now on of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" So he's given us some assurances that we'll be there in that kingdom. Mark chapter 1. Mark 1. And We'll start in verse 3. It says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of Yahweh, make his path straight. John came, who baptized in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance to remission of sins. And there went out to him all the country of Judea and all they of Jerusalem. And they were immersed of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And we'll look at verses 27. No, skip that, I'm sorry. Go to John 4. John 4, 11. We'll start in verse 10. It says, "And when he was alone, that they were about him with the 12, ask of him the parables. And he said to them, to you is given the mystery of the kingdom of Yahweh, but to them that are outside, all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at some time they should turn again, and it should be forgiven them. And he says to them, know you not this parable, and how shall you know all the parables?" And then he goes into the sower. But we, you know, are different. We've been taught what they mean. We've been given the understanding of the parables. The blindness has been taken away. The scotomas have been taken away so that we can see and understand. Turn to Luke chapter 5. In verse 17 it says, "And it came to pass one of those days that he was teaching, and there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, who had come out of every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of Yahweh was with him to heal." Okay? "And behold, men bring on a bed a man that was palsied, and they sought to bring him in and lay him before him, and not finding by what way they might bring him because of the multitude, they went up to the housetop and let him down through the tiles with his couch into the midst before Yahshua. And seeing their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven. Man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but Yahweh alone? But Yahshua, perceiving their reasoning, answered and said to them, why do you reason in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to him that was palsied, I say to you, arise and take up your couch and go to your house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that on which he lay, and departed to his house, glorifying Yahweh. And amazement took hold on all, and they glorified Elohim. And they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. But brethren, that was based on faith. Do we have the faith to heal? Do we have the faith to forgive? We have to, brethren, because if we don't forgive, we will not receive forgiveness ourselves. Okay. Luke 6:31. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. And if you love them that love you, what thanks have you? For even sinners love those that love them. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thanks have you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to them whom you hope to receive, what thanks have you? Even sinners lend to sinners and to receive again as much. But love your enemies and do them good and lend, never despairing, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind toward the unthankful and evil. Be you merciful, even as your Father is merciful. And judge not, and you shall not be judged. And condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Release, and you shall be released. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. For with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you again. Now, it says in verse 39, and he spoke also a parable to them. Can the blind guide the blind? Shall they not both fall into a pit? The disciple is not above his teacher, but every one, when he is perfected, shall be as his teacher. And why behold you the speck that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me cast out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself behold not the beam that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of your own eye, then shall you see clearly to cast out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Drop down to verse 46. That's Luke 6:46. And why do you call me master, master, and do not the things which I say? Everyone that comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug and went deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And that rock is Yahshua the Messiah. Our foundation has to be Yahshua. Because if we have any other foundation, our house is going to fall. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it. For it had been founded upon the rock. Like I said, that rock is Yahshua. But he that hears and does not is like a man that builds his house upon the earth, the sand, without a foundation, against which the stream broke and straightway it fell in, and the ruin of the house was great. Luke 7. We're going to start in verse 39. Well, actually, we'll start in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman who was in the city, a sinner, when she knew that he was sitting at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster cruse of ointment, and standing behind at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee had bidden him saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have perceived who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, that she is a sinner. And see, what you have to understand in the Hebrew way of thinking is, you know, there's a whole halakha, a whole law concerning that which touches that is unclean, and it makes this unclean until the evening or whatever, and how many days. And, you know, there's a lot of, there's a whole package of laws that are dealing with that. And I'm sure this is what's going through this Pharisee's mind. about the type of woman this is that's touching him. You know, he's saying, this man, if he's making it conditional, if, in other words, I don't necessarily believe that he is, he were a prophet, would have perceived who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, that she is a sinner, okay? So obviously the Pharisee didn't see himself as being a sinner. And Yahshua answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he says, teacher, say on. A certain lender had two debtors. The one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they had not with which to pay, he forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him most? Simon answered and said, he, I suppose, to whom he forgave the most. And he said, you have rightly judged. And turning to the woman, he says to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet. You didn't wash my feet. But she has wetted my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, no greeting. But she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint. And she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And they that sat at the table with him began to say within themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Remember, he who loves little forgives little. The key is forgiveness, brethren. That's what we have to understand. That's what we have to do and prepare our lives so that we can truly be able to help the people around us see that what Yahshua has done for each and every one of us. And Luke 12, we look at verse 8, down to 12, verse 8 to 12. And I say to you, everyone who shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of Elohim. But he that denies me in the presence of men shall be denied in the presence of the angels of Elohim. And every one who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, be not anxious how or what you shall answer or what you shall say. For the Holy Spirit shall teach you in that very hour what you should say. Remember when Peter was, you know, accused of knowing who he was or being with him, he denied Yahshua. He denied Yahshua. We don't want to be in that situation. Even though Peter came back, Peter overcame. He showed that he truly loved Yahshua. He gave his life for it. Luke 24, Luke 24, verse 44. And he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their mind that they might understand the scriptures. And that's what we want Yahshua to do for us. Open our minds that we would understand the scriptures. And he said to them, in this manner it is written that the Messiah should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you, but stay you in the city until you be clothed with power from on high. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Verse 22 and 23. It says, and when he said this, he breathed on them and says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven to them. Whose sins you retain, they are retained. Acts 5. Acts 5, 30 to 32. It says, the Elohim of our fathers raised up Yahshua, whom you killed, hanging him on a tree. Him did Yahweh exalt with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, which Yahweh has given to them that obey him. Do our lives show that we have Yahweh's Holy Spirit, brethren? It should. And for that to happen, we have to show that we have forgiveness. We have to believe that this forgiveness is going to open us up and allow us to grow more in Yahweh's Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 39. It says, now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahshua the Messiah, to the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as Yahweh our Elohim shall call to him. And brethren, we are those people that we were far off from this time that are hearing this word. Acts 26. Acts 26. We'll start in verse 16. This is after Paul is talking about after Yahshua had blinded him and knocked him down on the Damascus road. And it says in verse 16, but arise and stand on your feet, for to this end have I appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness both of the things in which you have seen me and of the things in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I send you, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness, that Greek word skatoma, that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to Yahweh, that they may receive the remission of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. Do we have the faith in Yahshua to have our eyes completely open as Paul's were open? Remember, Paul was one of the Pharisees. He was one of the leaders of Israel who was condemning Yahshua's followers to death. Hebrews chapter 10. Starting verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws on their heart, and upon their mind also will I write them. Then he says, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He's going to write up and forget them. He's going to just write them off because of the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Yahshua, by the way which he dedicated for us, a new and a living way through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a great priest over the house of Elohim, let us draw near with a true heart. In fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having our body washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. And I'm telling you, Yahweh is faithful, brethren. There's nothing that he has promised us that he will not fulfill. And let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, the more as you see the day drawing near. Because truly, time is getting short. Very short. Hebrews 9, verse 21. Moreover, the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry he sprinkled in like manner with blood. And according to the law, I must almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It was necessary, therefore, that the copies of the things in heaven should be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For the Messiah entered not into a holy place made with hands, like in pattern to the true, but in the heaven itself, now to appear before the face of Yahweh for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the holy place year by year with blood not his own. Else must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed to men once to die, and after this comes judgment, so the Messiah also, having been once offered to bear the sins of the many, shall appear a second time, apart from sin, to them that wait for him to salvation. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, 12. Put on therefore as Yahweh's elect, holy and beloved, the heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Master forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, love, which is the bond of perfectness. That's what we want, brethren. We want the forgiveness that comes from above. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. verse 9. We'll read down through 11. For to this end I did also write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you were obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For what I have also forgiven, if I have forgiven anything for your sakes, I have forgiven it in the presence of the Messiah, that no advantage may be gained over us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, and we'll start in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us and the beloved, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Mark chapter 13 is our final scripture. Mark 13. The key, brethren, is forgiveness. In Mark 13, we'll start in verse 9. It says, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in synagogues shall you be beaten. Before governors and kings shall you stand for my sake, for a testimony to them, and the good tidings must first be preached to all nations. And when they lead you to judgment and deliver you up, be not anxious beforehand what you shall speak, but whatever shall be given you in that hour, that speak, for it is not you that speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother shall deliver a brother to death, and father his child, and children shall rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Will we be as Joshua, brethren, willing to forgive those who persecute us? We must endure until the end, according to the scripture. The key is forgiveness, the key is faith, and the key is love. If we have forgiveness within us, we will be able to say the same thing Yahshua said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And may Almighty Yahweh bless each one who is being raised as one of his new creatures, in love and forgiveness and in faith, so that we would be able to have the compassion, even for our enemies who are trying to put us to death for our testimony of Yahshua the Messiah. Again, the key is forgiveness. And I pray that each one of us would have that forgiveness within us, that we will be able to share with those who are trying to take our lives. So we ask that Almighty Yahweh would bless this ministry and each of the people participating, that he would expand your consciousness and open your minds, that you would understand that without the love of the brethren and without the love of our neighbors and the love of our enemies, we cannot have that key to forgiveness to overcome Satan the devil. And truly, that's what we need to have the victory. And I'm sure that Yahweh has given us enough of his Holy Spirit to understand. So may Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you. And at this time, I'd like to ask Al, Brother Al, if you would close with a word of prayer.
It's all about. Father Yahweh, we thank you for another inspiring message. We know the rules. It says if we do not forgive, then we will not be forgiven. And I believe that everybody within the sound of our Greg's voice has the capability of forgiving. If they have the Holy Spirit, and they have the mind of Yeshua, as the scriptures say, then we can forgive. The Bible says we have the mind of the Messiah. We have your spirit. We have your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in our lives. We have your promises that we can stand upon. We even have one another that we can call and reach out to if we're stumbling and if we fall. We have a network of believers that love us and that would be willing to help us. We need to reach out. We thank you for the Sabbath day, Father. We thank you for the comfort and for the rest and refreshment that it provides, the time that we can gather together to hear your word proclaimed, to sing your praises, to offer songs of love to you, to express our love to you. That's why we keep your Torah. It's not to receive salvation, because nothing we can do other than putting our trust in Yeshua's sacrifice will bring us salvation. We keep your word, Yahweh, because we love you. We want to be pleasing to you. We want to let you know that, yes, we love you, Yahweh. And we just pray that you'd be with those that are on the prayer list, that you would expose yourself to these people that don't know you as they should. Illuminate their hearts and their minds. Illuminate our hearts and our minds, like Isaiah 59 says, or as Psalm 119 says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. We need our eyes open. We need our hearts and minds open so that we can receive from you. And, of course, everything we receive from you isn't to be kept, to be given away. It's to be shared with people. Your gifts are not ours to keep but to share. We give you thanks, praise, glory, honor, and blessing for the many blessings you shower upon us. Watch over us this next week. Keep us safe from harm. We know that we're living in perilous times. There's trouble all around. Rivers are flooding. Chaos is ensuing. It's just all over. The world is going crazy. We pray that you would keep us as the apple of your eye and protect us. We love you and we love one another. We ask your blessings upon us in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Savior, Redeemer, soon coming King. Hallelujah. Amen.